Good morning, church.
Whoa. Good morning.
Another year has passed. Amen.
Amen.
You know what that means? Another year older.
Another year.
Wiser. I don't know. But anyway, special morning this morning. I want to thank you. The Giddings International wants to thank you, and specifically the lives that have been saved through the distribution of the word that you have provided for those individuals to accept Christ as their Savior. They thank you also. Dr. Colin Bennett was saved at the age of 18 by reading the Bible. Amen. And he comes from a non-Christian family, he says. He is a national field officer, a zone coordinator, and held many positions in his local camp. He participated in the Bay of Islands, New Zealand local scripture blitzes. He's been a member of the New Zealand Medical Association for 36 years. He's a fellow of the Royal New Zealand College of General Practitioners. He's married to his wife, Clarice. They have three daughters, Marion, Deborah, and Giselle. Giselle, okay. And he has one grandson. It's a privilege and honor for me to introduce to you this morning Dr. Colin Bennett.
Okay. Well, you guys here in Pennsylvania are such lovely people. When I was in New York, some guy asked me to stand up, and I was already standing. So I'll try not to stand behind the laptop here, you know. But anyway, praise his name. Hang on. Good? Oh, wow. Who's that? Okay. Anyway, I'm a family physician, and the Lord rescued me. Praise his name. But, you know, I get to see all sorts. What's the biggest tattoo that you've ever seen? What's the biggest tattoo? Well, this young guy comes in to see me. He's got this tattoo on his back. His name is Jermaine. I said to Jermaine, why have you got this big tattoo on your back? Oh, he said, it's the word revelation. Why have you got revelation tattooed on your back? Oh, he said, I like this hip-hop band called Revelation 7. They've got really cool music. You know, but I couldn't understand because one of the young men in the band, he died. And so I got this tattoo to remember him. But you know, I'd be out somewhere at the beach and someone would walk up and say, hey, Revelation, that's in the Bible. And someone else would say, oh yeah, Revelation, that's in the Bible. One day he said, I was just mucking around at home and I came across a little Gideon Testament I'd been given at Manurewa High School. And I started to read this book, and I gave my heart to Jesus. I said, that's wonderful, Jermaine. What are you doing now? He's smiling. He said, now I'm training to be a youth pastor. I want other young people to come to know Jesus. And I have seen this young man lead at least 30 people, young people, to the Lord. Praise his name. So this book is living and active, God's word. We know that all scripture is God breathed. It's absolutely incredible what God is doing. But as someone mentioned, I came from a family, we went to church when someone died or when someone got married. I didn't know any different growing up. And then when I was 18, I was sent from a little town into a big city of Dunedin. Big city, I mean 100,000 people. In New Zealand, 100,000 is a big city. And I get to the big city, I carry on the lifestyle that, you know, most people that don't know the Lord do. Every Friday night, you go out and get drunk. Every Saturday night, you get drunk. I didn't know any different. Here I was at university, and I was failing. I was living a miserable life. Getting drunk is no fun. The next day you wake up and you're miserable. Anyway, I got 30% in my math exam. If any of you are teachers, you'll know that's not good. Especially when you're trying to get into medical school, so I only got 30% in my math exam. I was failing, miserable. Then on Good Friday, on that 1978, I got so badly drunk that I couldn't even walk. These four guys had to lift me up and carry me back to the university, and they threw me in the room. The next morning, I woke up and I thought, wow, you know, my parents are going to be so upset. They worked so hard to send me to university. Here I'm failing at everything. I'm feeling miserable. I thought, you know, what's the point in living? I thought, there's no point in living. And then I reasoned, hang on, if there is a God, then that makes, there must be something to life. And I wandered into a church on the Easter Saturday. There was nobody there. Nobody. But there was a stack of Bibles. And it said a Bible for $10. So I put $10 in this box, took this Bible home, and I opened it up. And I just started reading. I started reading in the New Testament. And I read and I read. I read all day. And then it hit me. This is true. These are eyewitness accounts of Jesus and his life. And so I carried on reading. The next day, Sunday, I kept reading and reading and reading. I read the whole New Testament. Then Sunday night, I noticed that the lights had gone on in the church. And I made sure none of my friends were watching, and I snuck out and went to this church. And look, there was only 10 people in the church. One young guy was saying how you could ask Jesus into your heart and believe it, and he will come in. Well, I'd never heard anything like that. And he mentioned a verse like Revelation 3:20, where Jesus is speaking, and he says, you know, I'm knocking at the door, and if you open the door, I will come in and eat with you, and you with me. And he says, we can invite Jesus into our heart. Well, I'd never heard anything like that. I went back to my room. I just sat on the floor. And I said, God, I've made a mess of my life. Come and be the boss of my life. The next day I woke up. I was changed. I had all this whiskey under my bed. I stopped drinking. I stopped swearing. I wanted to read the Bible every day. I'd go to my classes and come back and read. It wasn't until a week later that I found out that there was a Christian guy staying in the hostel. And I only knew he was a Christian because he had a guitar and he played some Christian songs. So I said to him, hey, Doug, you know, over Easter I asked Jesus into my heart. And he said, wow, that's great. Why don't you join us for Bible study? And that's how the Lord rescued me, literally. Literally from the drunkard, from the gutter. But God convicted me of sin, and praise his name. So just in case you're not sure of my accent, this is a map of the world. You'll see New Zealand is right there in the center. We're... So, where are you guys? Oh, okay, there. Anyway, so we're right there, and we've got a North Island that's about 600 miles long, and a South Island that's about 650 miles long. So we've got North Island, South Island, and then there's a West Island. Some of you may know it as Australia, but we call it West Island. So this is my hometown, Auckland, and Auckland has got beautiful harbours. It's the home of the America's Cup. We keep winning this yachting race. So it's still in Auckland. Praise his name. So this is a view of the Auckland City CBD. You see the big tall building there? That's the tallest building in the southern hemisphere. They call it the Sky Tower. Now at the bottom of the Sky Tower is the biggest building in the whole of New Zealand. Guess what it is? It's a casino. We, used to be a Christian country. Now we're a pagan, heathen country. 10% of our members of parliament are gay. Absolutely heathen country. Sunday is the busiest sports and shopping day. Only 5% of people go to church in New Zealand. But, we make some movies. You've seen The Lord of the Rings and Avatar. Avatar movie was made in New Zealand and Hobbit movies. So the Gideon's International, praise his name. God is using this ministry to rescue people. And I want to tell you that some of the things that God is doing is incredible. We've had a massive increase in the number of scriptures that we're giving out this last 12 months. Double what we did in previous years, mainly at schools. We just turn up at a high school on the sidewalk, and the people, the young people coming out from school, they want to take a scripture. Glory to God. You know? Sometimes, you know, God works in funny ways. I'll tell a story, Mitch, that you didn't hear last night. But this year, we went to Papakura High School. And the principal there had said, you know, look, we're going to let you set up a table in the playground, you know, on the field. And if any people come up to you and want a Bible, you can give it to them. But just stay there at that little table. Okay. Praise his name. Well, we get there and we set up this little table on the field and it starts to rain. And the teachers come running to get us and they pull us out, you know, and they put us under this big covered area where there's, out of the rain. And so we're standing under this big covered area at lunchtime and the kids come out at lunch and it's the same place where everyone gets a free lunch at school. So they come out and they get a free lunch and now we're standing right next to it and we're giving them a free Bible. So they pick up a lunch and they get a free Bible. It was incredible. You know, we thought standing out on the field we might get, you know, 40 people come up. But here, all the kids were taking them. Then a teacher walks over to me and he says, "Can I have a look at that book?" I said, "Sure, yeah." And he takes it over and he walks away and comes back a couple of minutes later. He said, "Wow." He said, "You know what? I'm going to read from this book every day to my class. First lesson of the day, I'm going to read a passage from the Bible. I'll start with Psalm 23. Praise his name. We gave out 900 scriptures at that lunchtime. And the school only has 1,000 kids. Praise his name. So there's been a big increase in the scriptures going into schools. In hotels, no. The 50% of hotels won't let us place scriptures. And I put up there, this is another story, Mitch, you wouldn't have heard last night, so this is different too. I put up there a refugee centre. You know what? I had a lovely pastor. He became my friend. And would he let me tell about Gideon's in his church? No. No. I bugged him and bugged him for 5 years. Finally, he says to me, "Look, I'll let you speak to the church for 5 minutes, but that's it." So I get up in church and I'm telling, you know, testimonies about what the Lord has done. And then he comes up after 4 minutes and he stands right beside me, ready to take the microphone out of my hand. And I told the whole congregation, "Look, I'm going to stop what I'm talking about now and I'm going to blame the pastor. Look, Pastor Andrew, this is your fault." And he looks at me. "Yes," I said, "it's your fault." So I said to him, "You know, remember a couple of weeks ago you were doing your preaching and in the middle of your sermon you stopped what you were doing and you wandered over to this bunch of teenagers and you told these teenagers you need to turn your phone off, turn your computer off, and at least once a week ask, what does God want me to do?" And then you carried on came back to the center stage and carried on your sermon. And Pastor Andrew, I was there on the other side of the church. And I was just sitting there. And I said to the Lord, "What do you want me to do?" And then God spoke in an audible voice. This is the second time I've heard God speak like that. God spoke and he said, I want you to go to the Mangere Refugee Center and give out Bibles. Now, I'd never heard of this place. Mangere Refugee Center. I knew Mangere means it's near the airport, but I'd never heard of it. Anyway, I get together with our Gideons from South Auckland during the week and we have our prayer time. And I said, look, I heard this voice tell me to go to the Mangere Refugee Center, but I know nothing about it. Now, one of the guys there, his name is Doug Tanner, he said, look, I just live down the road from there, let me go. So I said, Doug, you know where to go, you go. Following week, we get back together to pray. Oh, Doug, did you visit the refugee center? Oh, I said, I just wandered in. There were 20 families there. And I gave each family a Bible. I said, that's wonderful. Then one smart guy says to me, oh, they probably don't speak English. So I checked it out, and all these 20 families, they came from Afghanistan. And they were all interpreters for the US Army. And when the US Army pulled out of Afghanistan, these guys would have been killed. The US government refused to take them in, but because their lives were threatened, the New Zealand government took them. Glory to God. He knew. The other big thing, I mentioned that we've got a lot of Bibles going to the schools, high schools, but also in the last 12 months, there's suddenly been a big increase in the number of Bibles we're placing in prisons. It's incredible. I don't know where it's coming from. But so this guy called David Abida last June, he gets up in church and he just wanted to tell his story. And David said that, you know, when he was a young man, he was from a lovely family, but he got involved as a teenager in stealing. And he used to go out and steal things and thieve things. And when he was in his 20s, he got caught by the police and they put him in jail. And he said, when I was in jail, I was miserable. And one day this guy walks past my cell and said, do you want to read a book? And I didn't even answer, but this guy pushed a book through the bars on my cell. And David said, well, I've got nothing else to do. So he picked up this book, and it was a Gideon Bible, and he opened it. And he began to read about where Jesus was on the cross, where Jesus was dying on the cross. And who was with him? There were two thieves next to Jesus, also on a cross. And Jesus was compassionate towards one of those thieves. Jesus was compassionate. And David said, I'm just like that thief. And then he felt the presence of God come into the cell with him. He knew that God was right there with him in the cell, and he gave his heart to the Lord. So that's only just happened. Praise his name. Now, this is a quote that I have on my bedroom door by an American missionary called Jim Elliot. Now, Jim Elliot said, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. He's no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. And also, you know, as a doctor, I'm noticing that God is looking for fat Christians. Yeah, he's looking for fat ones. People who are faithful, available, and teachable. God is looking. In the scriptures, it even tells us, for the eyes of the Lord go to and fro throughout the whole earth, looking to give strong support to those who are blameless towards him. God is looking to give strong support to his people. Now, blameless does not mean perfect. Blameless just means having one God, the Lord. Not the golfing God, not the fishing God, not the football God, just one God. God is looking. And God does not wish that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. You know, God is moving in an amazing way, especially in the country of Indonesia, a Muslim country. And yet God is moving. I was praying with a guy called Sunny, and he's a Gideon from Kalimantan in Indonesia. And he was telling me, you know, he was just walking along, and he saw a Muslim farmer out in the field, and he wandered over to him and gave him a little Gideon New Testament. And he told him, this is a holy book. And the Muslim farmer took the book home, and he put it in a box inside his house where he stores all his legal documents. Well, the story goes that 2 days after that, there was a fire in the village, and the villagers ran to get the farmer, and he runs back to the village, and his house is on fire. And he ran into the house and grabbed that box and pulled it out, and his whole house burnt to the ground. Now, when they went to open the box, all his legal documents were completely burnt. But the Bible was unharmed. And he and his wife decided to follow the Lord. Praise his name. We're told in the scriptures to pray. To call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and hidden things you have not known. Indeed, our God hears every prayer. And this Gideon ministry, we're just ordinary people, members of ordinary church, have been called to go out into the community to reach people who are unchurched. And so we make sure that when we go out, we know it's God's ministry, so we pray. And then one story reminded me of, you know, I went to this school called McLean's College. And at this school, there's 80% of the kids at this school are Chinese. So we go to the school at 3 o'clock. Why do we go? And the kids come out at 3:15. Now, why do you get there early? So you can pray. Nothing's going to happen unless God moves. So we got there at 3 o'clock and, oh, it was raining. It wasn't just raining, it was pouring with rain. The rain was so heavy, I didn't even want to open the car door an inch. Now, the guy in the car next to me, who was always at Gideon, his name is Chichi, he's from Nigeria. He texted me on the phone, you know, and I managed to get it out. I'm not very fast. And he texted me and he said, you know, what should we do? And I'm just sitting in the car next door, you know. And I texted back, you young ones will get this, you know, but I don't know. I could only get out four letters, W-A-I-T. What's that? What? Wait. So I texted back, wait. And so I said to the couple of guys in the car with me, I said, look, we've been praying for this school for several months. Let's just pray one more time. So we just prayed and said, I just said simply, Lord, this is your ministry. If you want these young people to have a copy of your holy word, then you need to intervene. I'm here. We're here. But it's up to you, Lord. And it kept on pelting down. And then suddenly at 3:13, it stopped raining. But all the black clouds disappeared and out came the blue sky and the sun. And we jumped out of the car and the students are coming out from the school and we're handing out these little books. Here's a free New Testament. And the kids are taking them. And we gave out 430 in about 15 minutes. A little Chinese girl walks past me and I said, oh, here's a free New Testament. She said, what's a New Testament? I said, oh, it's a Bible. She said, what's a Bible? I said, well, it tells you all about God. She said, "What's God?" Oh, I said, "You better have one then." Okay, and she took it. This is what we're dealing with now. The young people don't go to church. The hotel I'm staying at, this in here, town here, there's hundreds of young people going to sports. They're not in church this morning. There's a huge number of kids that weren't even going to church right here in this community. But we pray, and God is continuing, as I said, to rescue people. So we place scriptures and we work while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. Now, when you stand up for the Lord, sometimes you come across unusual things. So, Mitch, I never told you this one. It's keeping him on his toes. But see, I went to this school 2 years ago now at Glendowie College. And we're sitting in the car praying before the students come out. And I could see this blonde lady walking up and down, walking out in front of cars. And she's talking to herself. And she's, you know, she looked crazy. And anyway, she comes and looks at us in the car. And she walks away. Anyway, we jump out of the car and we're starting to hand out the scriptures. And she walks up to me and she says, "Now, I heard this spooky voice. This lady, but she spoke with a man's voice. And she said, 'By what authority are you giving out Bibles?' And I said, 'By the authority of God Most High.' And she, and she walks off. I've never seen a demon-possessed person before. But there you go, they're out there. This is a picture here of a river in the island of Borneo. A friend of mine, Alan Lowe, he was going up the river with a local Gideon. He's going up the river and, visiting the schools. Anyway, they'd finished for the day and they're just about to turn the boat around to go back down the river when another guy comes across in a boat. And he comes over to them and says, "What are you guys doing up here?" And Alan said, "Well, we're visiting the schools." "Oh," he said, "are you going to visit the school further up the river?" Now, the local Gideon had no idea that there was another school further up the river. And Alan said, "Well, we've come this far. Let's go to one more school." So they get back in the little boat and they go up to the school. And they get to the school and all the students are lined up on the riverbank, and a teacher comes running down towards them and says, "God told me some men were coming today to give my students Bibles, so I've had them wait here all day for you." Glory to God. And as I said, God is moving in a mighty way. This last 12 months, unbelievable. They've given out 1 million copies of God's Word in Indonesia. A friend of mine, Toto, he went to a Muslim school and spoke to the principal. And the principal told him, "Don't you know all my students here, 100%, are Muslims?" And Toto said, "Yes, I know that." "Oh, well, if you know that, okay, go. You can go to each class and give them out." So he went to every class and gave every child a New Testament. This is in a Muslim country. Praise his name. So how do we get scriptures into the hands of people that are not in church? Well, God lays it on the hearts of his people to give so that we can print these scriptures. It's an absolutely incredible how God works. You can never outgive God. God loves a cheerful giver, but you can never outgive him. You know, this little book in the back of it is the gospel plan of salvation. So easy. People are not going to be saved unless they know that God loves them, that we're all sinners, that we need to make a response to what Christ has done. The gospel's a simple message. I warned you that, Pastor, that I was going to mention about how some things, Christian life is not easy. This is the hardest time in our life, my wife and I, when our daughter, when she was 14, Debbie got leukemia. She had cancer. The first time she went into hospital, she was there for 5 months. They gave her chemotherapy, they gave her radiation, that had knocked the cancer. Then a few months later, it would come back. Then they'd give her more treatment, and then it would come back. Finally, they said, look, we'll give her a bone marrow transplant. That's when you don't want to... I looked it up, you know, bone marrow transplant, 60% death rate in 3 months. Pretty serious. Wow, she had this bone marrow transplant. Everything was clear. They said, right, the cancer's been wiped out. Praise his name. No, 12 months later, the cancer came back. And this, again, you shouldn't, I didn't, but I looked at her blood test results. And on the Monday, her white count was 30,000. Now, the normal white count is 4 to 11, and her count was 30,000. Then on the Wednesday, it was 50,000. Then on the Friday, it was 70,000. The cancer was just taking over her body. And then on the Friday afternoon, the doctors called me in, and they had a meeting. And they said, we've given Debbie all this treatment, but the cancer keeps coming back. And we think she's only got 2 weeks to live. And I just burst out crying. And I cried and I cried and I cried. I cried for 20 minutes. All the doctors got up and left, apart from one young doctor remained sitting there. So that was on the Friday. And then on the Sunday, I went to my church. I wanted to thank my church family because they'd been so supportive to us. They'd been praying for us, helping us, and they had a roster so that someone from church would always look after my youngest daughter, who was only 6 at the time, so that they'd look after her after school until I got home from work. So I get to church, and it was like this, a beautiful sunny day. It was a lovely day, and everyone was smiling and happy, and they were singing songs of praise. And I go into the service, and they're singing songs to the Lord. When I just said to God, how can I sing a happy song when my daughter is in hospital dying? And this was the first time that God spoke. He said, I know what it's like to lose a child. I know what it's like to lose a child. And then just then I realized God knows what it's like to have a child die. He gave up his only son to die for us. God knows what it's like. That was on the Sunday. Then on the Monday, the doctors had another meeting. And they said, oh, we've got this new drug called Gleevec. We're not sure if it's going to work. It's designed for leukemia, but we'll give it to Debbie and see. Anyway, she took these tablets. Bang, the cancer stopped. Praise his name. That was when Debbie was 18. Now she's 36. Praise her name. She loves the Lord. Every day she prays. In fact, when we go to a school to give out scriptures, I just bend over and give them to her, and she hands them out. Much nicer to get them from a lady than an old fella like me, isn't it? So I challenge you, you know, you ladies, go out and help us Gideons to give them out. Just turn up. In fact, I only became a Gideon because a lady came into my clinic and said, can I leave a Bible in your waiting room? I said, sure. I'd never heard of the Gideons before that. And so I said, yeah, I'd be interested in what you're doing. And God called me into this ministry of the Gideons. But God is merciful. You know, here's another story, Mitch, I didn't tell you. You didn't know these. But anyway, you know, one time I went to this, took a friend of mine to hospital to a clinic appointment at a hospital. Now, when you go to a hospital, you don't know how long the appointment's going to be, right? You don't know how long it's going to take. That's why you guys are called patients. You got to have patience. Anyway, I get there, and it's a beautiful day, and I had a new book that I wanted to read. And three cars away from where I was parked, I hear this thumping loud music. Boom, boom, boom. Do you guys get that in America? Some people, they play the music, you know? You know, boom, boom, boom. I'm thinking, oh, and I couldn't concentrate. So I thought, oh. And I had one of these little things sitting in my car, a little New Testament. And I was just prompted, and this verse came to mind. Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Anyway, I got out of the car, walking along to this car. I was quite scared because I thought it was one of these gangs. Anyway, I get to the car and there's all the windows are down. And bang, loud music. So I have to bang on the car door and this guy sits up. And I said, look, I just want to give you a free gift. This is a little Bible. And he took this little Bible and he said, oh, wow. You know what? I'd be interested in that. And then he started telling me his life story. He said, look, I'm 23 years old. I'm studying engineering at university. Yeah, I'd be interested in that. And then he said, you know, my parents, they came from India, but I was born here. And the third time he said, yeah, I'd be interested in that. I didn't know what to say. I sort of just wandered back to my car. And that's when it hit me. There must be thousands upon thousands of people who have not heard of the Lord Jesus, who have not heard the gospel message. Thank you. I've put up here that, you know, for nothing can hinder the Lord from saving, whether by many or by few. And God can use one person, two people. He doesn't need hundreds. Just needs someone who's committed to him. There's two Gideons in Taupo. They decided to visit a school 1.5 hours drive away, and they got in the car, they went to the school. They get to the school and they ask the principal if they're allowed to offer New Testaments to the students. And the principal said, no, I'm not sure about this. What I'll do is I'll write to the parents, and if any parent wants their child to have a Bible, I'll let you know. He was just trying to get rid of them. Well, 2 months later, they rang up the school secretary and they're speaking to her and they asked, did the principal send that letter out? And they said, yes. Did any parent write back to say they wanted their child to have a Bible? And she said, yes. One parent wrote back. Good, they said, we'll come. So they get in the car to drive another 1.5 hours to deliver one Bible to one child. Now they get to the school and they're speaking to the church school secretary, and they're saying that they've come to bring the Bible, and a teacher walks behind them. And the teacher hears the word Bible and comes over. And says, are you men bringing Bibles to the school? And she said, yes. They said, yes. Oh, good, she said, come with me. You know how teachers talk? They can be a bit bossy. But anyway, said to the school secretary, oh, I'm not sure if we're allowed to do this. And the teacher said, yes, come with me. And so they followed this teacher to her class, and they get to their class, and they just start sharing. At the front of the little book, there's a part that's called Help in Time of Need. God's help in crisis, help with life's problems. So they just open the first couple of pages, and then the teacher gets up, excuse me, gentlemen, I need you to stop for a moment. And then the teacher says to all her students, when I was a young lady, I got involved in all sorts of problems with drinking and drugs. I lived a miserable lifestyle. I got into trouble, and one day my grandmother told me, you need to stop what you're doing. You need to go to church. Well, she was staying in a hotel one day, and she found a Gideon Bible, and she picked that up, and she was reading that, and she gave her heart to Jesus. And she's telling all her students, the only reason that I became a teacher was because Jesus changed me. And he's given me a love for children. And Jesus helped me become a teacher. Praise his name. Blessings to you and all your family. Thank you. Oh, okay. You know, I knew that God was calling me to be involved with this ministry of the Gideons, but I couldn't go out and do a school distribution. I started work at 8 in the morning. I finished at 6 o'clock, but I joined the Gideons anyway. Now, I didn't actually go out to do a school distribution or give out Bibles until I'd been a Gideon for 3 years. You see, God tends to call busy people into the Gideons. I don't know why. It seems to be busy people he calls. Well, I was busy. Anyway, after 3 years, I managed to take an hour off in the afternoon, and I went to Rose Hill College, and I came straight from work, so I'm wearing a suit and a tie, and out from the school comes this big guy, and he's wearing a suit and a tie, and he comes right up to me, and he says, I'm the principal of this school, and I'm glad you've come. The board of trustees voted not to let the Gideons into the school, but good on you. And off he walked. Well, I was shaking away. Anyway, the students started coming out, and praise the Lord, you know, here's a free New Testament. You're giving them out. I counted that I'd given out 365 New Testaments in about 15 minutes. And we're just about packing up our little boxes to leave when all the other kids had come out, but then one boy came out by himself. Now, you could tell he just looked like a naughty boy. You could tell he looked like a naughty boy, you know. And so I said, here's a free New Testament. He grabs it, and he walks over, and he throws it across the road. Now, there were cars going up and down the road. Well, 2 days later, John Leonard gets this phone call on the Gideon phone number. And this guy had rung up. And he said, oh, a couple of days ago I was drunk and this Bible come and hit me on the head. And now I believe there really is a God. Praise his name. Amen. So, can I pray, Pastor?
Please do.
Father God, we give you glory and honor. And most of all, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We can only come before you because of his sacrifice, his blood shed for us. But Lord, now that you've made us your people, your holy people, not because of anything we have done, but because of your mercy and goodness and grace, Lord, I pray that would give us a real hunger to want to meet with you and ears to hear what you want us to do. Lord, lead us and guide us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can locate us on the web at theheartofchristchurch.com. There you will find many useful links to contact us or donate to our ministry, where it is our mission to love God, love others, and go.